The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Follow him is not the call to comfort and convenience. The call to follow him is a call to adventure. And when you say it's impossible, you are right. When you say it's possible, you are also right. It depends on the lens you are seeing it from. We're having a wonderful time. Today, what I want to talk about will be more like a lecture. Because really, when I read scriptures and I see how God processes individuals, even nations, then I understand God is a God of freedom, not only freedom, but also liberty. For where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. We're still on our series, Soul Prosperity. By next month, we'll be starting a brand new series titled Powerful Sexuality, Powerful Marriages, Powerful Families. Wow. Sex was not created by Hollywood. It was his original design before it started. Marriage was not created by any locality, any tribe. Neither the issue of family was thought of by anybody but by the Maker. In Matthew 16:16-19, in the complete Jewish Bible, it says, Shimon Kepha answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." Shimon bar Yohanan, Yeshua said to him, "How blessed you are, for no human being revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. I also tell you this, you are Kepha, which means rock. And on this rock," I chose this translation because I like this statement, "and on this rock I will build my community." Another translation says, "I will build my ecclesia." The King James Version turned it to church because Bishop Bistroff was afraid that if it says ecclesia, King James will be afraid. "Upon this rock, and on this rock I'll build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." The Greek translation says, "Whatever you prohibit on earth must have been prohibited in heaven. And whatever you lose or what you permit on earth must have been permitted in heaven." In Romans chapter 12, verse 3-8, based on this scripture, that's what we are doing, a 5-day training this week with Apostle Yemia the Pharisee. I said, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy," starting from one, "if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Proverbs 14:34. It says, "A nation is exalted by the righteousness of his people, but sin heaps disgrace upon the land." In the Amplified Bible of Proverbs 14:34, it says, "Uprightness and right standing with God, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation, elevate a nation." but sin is a reproach to any people. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus gave us the commission. Mark 16 also, Matthew 28, he gave us the commission that we should go and make this, disciples, Matthew 28, to make disciples of every nation. He now said in Mark 16, in Matthew 16, that he will build his community, he will build his ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You must understand that God made a show with Israel, trying to show them how he will bring people out of bondage and make them a free people, and prosperity will come. But you see, the desire of Jesus, the desire of God from the very beginning, is that every people, every nation, every tribe, we come into what God is doing. Not that I'm saying that Israel has been replaced. No, I'm saying. I'm saying that when the Holy Spirit was given to everybody. And he says, I will build my ecclesia. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, that even the eyes of Israel will be opened. And that's why I pray for Israel. Most of them will come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ. But that's not what I'm going to today. I'm going about the development of a nation. What develops a nation? Today I want to talk about the soul of national development. The soul of national development. When we are talking about soul prosperity, what actually develops a nation? Because when I look at true scriptures, I saw how God brought a bunch of slaves, about 2 million of them. Not that the 2 million entered. It was a new generation, less than 20, with two others that entered the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, a trip that would have taken 10 days. But what made them to come into a level of prosperity that nations, kings were traveling far and wide to seek for the wisdom of Solomon? There's what is called, many of us call, work ethic. And work ethic is important to entrepreneurship. Most times I hear people talking about entrepreneurship is good. But you see, there is a soul for entrepreneurship. But where does this term work ethic comes from? Most times we say work ethic. Understand that the origins of work ethics, and you can dominate economic policy. When you understand the origin of work ethic, then you can dominate economic policies. I'll be academic a little bit today, and that's why I'm rolling out this slide so that you can listen, you can read it, so that I'm not quoting from my head. The most important thing that prospers a national organizational economy or that drives entrepreneurship is also most underrated. What drives economic policies or drives the economy organization is underestimated. What do you believe has accounted for China's success as a nation? Because something happened about 10 or 8 years ago to China that made them to take off in another direction. But let us look at what is it. In a book called The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism, understand what that book. It's not about capitalism, because people study about capitalism. It's talking about the spirit of capitalism. Protestant ethics and the spirit of capitalism. Max Weber wrote that book many years ago. He's a German sociologist, philosopher, jurist, and political economist. He cited with Emily Durkheim and Karl Marx as among the three founders of sociology. Weber put forward the thesis that Calvinists, who are the Calvinists? They are the people that John Calvin raised up in Switzerland. That the Calvinist ethics and ideas influence the development of capitalism. And many of us want to be a capitalist nation. And that's what Nigeria is fighting for. But what develops capitalism? Weber noted that post-Reformation shift of Europe's economic center from Catholic countries such as France, Spain, and Italy, and towards Protestant countries such as Netherlands, England, Scotland, and Germany. Weber also noted that societies having more Protestant were those with more highly developed capitalist economy. Similarly, in societies with different religions, most successful business leaders were Protestant. And who are the Protestant today? Please, who are the Protestants? Today, as long as you are not a Roman Catholic, you are a Protestant. Are you a Protestant? But I don't need you to answer, but let's go. Weber does argue that impeded the development of the capitalist economy in the West, as did other religions such as Confucianism and Buddhism elsewhere in the world. The phrase work ethic, used in modern commentary, is a derivative of the Protestant ethic discussed by Weber. In other words, what I was trying to say is that because we now say work ethic because we are taking the term to meet everybody, we now removed it from Protestant ethic and we now call it work ethic. But the original was that it's a Protestant ethic. It was adopted when the idea of the Protestant ethic was generalized to apply to the Japanese people, Jews, and non-Christians, and thus lost its religious connotation. So work ethic was actually a religious connotation that was founded on Protestant ethics. And what are the Protestant ethics? We must understand that it was not developed by any secular term. It was developed by religious people. In particular, the Protestant ethic motivated believers to work hard. I was listening to somebody's post about his father. He said, "My father taught me the issue of to work hard. To work hard. Mahatma Gandhi discovered one evil. And what is the evil? Wealth without work. There are 7 evils he discovered. One is wealth without work. Another one is religion without sacrifice. The Protestant ethic motivated believers to work hard, be successful in business, and reinvent their profit in further development rather than frivolous pleasures. The notion of calling. You know, many a time as pastor, we say we have a calling. And so it's only pastors that we are taught that had a calling. But you see, according to the Protestant, the notion of calling meant that each individual had to take action as an indication of their salvation. Just being a member of a church was not enough. In other words, what was he trying to say? Is that every one of us was called. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8, everyone was gifted, everyone. That gift that they were saying there was not only for believers. Everyone was gifted as a gift of God, and there are 7 gifts of the Father given to you. And the gift of our nation, Nigeria, is that we are givers. The notion, and so, do you feel called to the marketplace and thus responsible to God there? You can't be in your workplace and be doing it sloppy. You must carry what is called the Protestant ethic there. You can't go to work late. You can't go to work by 8 o'clock and sign in 7 a.m. Those were the Protestant ethics. You can't resume work when you like. You can't do it sloppy. Those were the Protestant ethics. You are going to do things well. One of the theory or the underlying philosophy that the Japanese people had before that made them to have Japanese product. You know, those days we say this is a Japan product. That means that the product was fake. And what was their underlying philosophy? Their underlying philosophy in the nation was that only foolish people do things well. It took a man, Deming, to start training the Japanese people that do unto others as you wish them to do unto you. In other words, if I don't want you to cheat me, I won't cheat you. If the type of thing I want to use that will be good to me is what I will produce for you. These are the things that are necessary. And these are what the Protestant ethic has to do with working hard and also fulfilling your call wherever you are called and responsible for. Whether you are called as a pastor, whether you are called as a banker, or you are in civil service or in public service, or whether you are a businessman, or whether you are a homemaker, you have a call. And what are they saying is that you work hard, and you know what? You are going to use these ethics. And this ethics is the one that we develop into, it's about morality. Morality. What's the moral value? What's our moral value today? What was the last wish of China's outgoing president? in 2002, was interviewed. Because the last wish of a president would tell you what he wishes that his country. You can go and listen to the last interview of President Jonathan or any other president that has ruled us. They have a wish. And he was interviewed not by a pastor, was interviewed by a journalist. And he was interviewed by David Ackman, who wrote the book Jesus in Beijing. You can get that book, it's on Amazon. David Ackman was a former Time Magazine Beijing bureau chief, professor of history and writer in residence at Patrick Henry College, and wrote for Time Magazine from 1971 to 1994. Former Time correspondent David Ackman interviewed the retiring head of state in communist China in 2002, Jiang Zemin, and asked what he wished for in regard of China's future. His response shocked Ackman and much of the world when he replied, "I would like for my country to become a Christian nation." This is from a communist leader. When asked why, he explained how a panel of Chinese scholars, and this is documented in that book, Jesus in Beijing, has spent 20 years studying why China continually lags behind the West in science, industry, and culture. After considering every possible explanation, they concluded that it was the religious heritage of the West that has allowed it to reach such heights. The statement of these Chinese scholars was, "We were asked to look into what accounted for the preeminence of the West all over the world. At first, we thought it was because you had more powerful guns than we had. Then we thought it was because you had the best political system. Next, we focused on your economic system. But in the past 20 years, that means that the thing was done for more than 20 years, studying. But in the past 20 years, we have realized that the heart of your culture is your religion, Christianity. That is why the West has been so powerful." But the question some people will ask is that we are Christians in Nigeria, but I'll come into that. The Christian moral foundation of social and cultural life was what made possible the emergence of capitalism and then the successful transition to democratic politics. We don't have any doubt about this. In other words, this is what happened. We have democracy. But democracy is a form of political system that is not trust on a people. It must come organically from them. In other words, what happened is that there's a work ethic that work ethic actually brings about morality, which becomes the spirit of capitalism that will develop into the democratic structure we are looking for. So we have democracy without the foundation. And so, China's rise, there's a book called Civilization, the West and the Rest. You can look for it. After much hesitation, at least some of China's communist leaders now appear to recognize Christianity as one of the West's greatest sources of strength. Now, the question is that did China act on this information? That they did a study. And this study is about is research and development. And now, the people that researched it were not religious people. They were scholars. And they researched it. What happened? Somebody wrote an article in BBC News. Said China invests in confident Christians. The idea of Christian moral foundation being associated with economic prosperity and social work was aptly captured in BBC article by Christopher Landor, entitled, "China Invest in Confident Christians." So China actually responded. And in their response today, I can tell you that Silicon Valley in America buys invention from Shenzhen in China. China's police, they have a glasses called facial recognition glasses. They are the only ones in the world that when they look at you with the glasses, they know you. You cannot say. The glasses tells them who you are. Why? All of a sudden, something shut off in China. The country that persecute people from bringing Bibles are printing 19 million Bibles every year. And it's still shut. Why? Because something happened. They responded. The churches may not have spirit, but what they are telling the people is that, you know what? Teach them the values of Jesus. Teach them the values of Jesus. You may not teach them the spirit, but teach them the values. And that's why some of you will say, I've gone to Europe, I've gone to America, as simple that don't know Christ. They don't cheat you. They work hard. Why? Because when they were going to craft the society, they crafted the society with Protestant ethic, the educational system, the people that work in the health sector and all those things. They made it the foundation. It was the use from the primary school and all the way. That's why, as a primary school student or elementary school student in the West and everything, you are taught what is called the giving to society. You don't start giving to society. That's why this is the reason why there was Ebola in Nigeria and the price of sanitizer went up. There's nobody that came, whether small, that said, my friend, take one sanitizer. We started selling expired sanitizer. Why? The ethics. What did George Washington say? The founding father of democracy in America. He's in the $1 bill, that's his face. He said, of all the disposition and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable support. In other words, if you want prosperity, the support base for prosperity is morality and religion. Observe good faith and justice towards all nations. Cultivate peace. He was saying the prosperity is based on religion and morality, and they are indispensable. Then he went on to say, observe good faith and justice towards all others, all other nations, towards all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. Religion and morality enjoin this conduct. Once you have religion and morality, you will have this conduct. And I will show you where God said it, the commands he gave us. And can it be that good policy does not equally enjoin it? In other words, good policy does not bring about it. It is morality and religion that brings about good policy. It will be worthy of a free, enlightened, and at no distant period, a great nation, to give to mankind a magnanimous and too noble example of a people always guided by an exalted justice and benevolence. That was George Washington's farewell speech in 1796. What was he saying? The moment we move away from morality and religion, our democracy is over. National policy and economic policy, the foundation of national policy, will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality. Of private morality. How does that man who wants to rule us treat his, how is his morality? What are his values? This is the first inaugural address in a democracy by George Washington. John Adams wrote a letter to Subject Adam, dated June 21st, 1776. And he said, it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. My thoughts. And I'll be out of your way. Many people want to be free. You want a nation that will develop. But what brings about capitalism? There's a spirit. You can operate capitalism and no spirit, and it will crumble. You can operate democracy. Without that morality, democracy crumbles. We must understand that we must start understanding our prophetic destiny, our prophetic and redemptive destiny as a nation. What is the prophetic destiny and redemptive destiny of our nation? Of you as an individual. If we look about the seven gifts of the Father, what is your own gift? Are you actually using the gift? Are you an exalter? Are you a giver? Are you a prophet? Are you the one that God has called as a ruler? Germany, United Kingdom, I have a prophetic destiny of us as a ruler. Did they use it well? Because we were not created to be independent. We were created to be interdependent. I can never be self-sufficient. People must be in my life. to complement me. And I didn't say to complete me. To complement. Where I'm weak, there you are strong. The Bible says in Isaiah 19 verse 25, look at this. Many people have said this thing and people do not understand. This is what God said in Isaiah 19, 25. He said, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people. Who is Egypt? Look at your brother, say, I'm Egypt. Don't look at that map now. And Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my heritage. Who are God's people? But they say we are cursed. And the moment you hear you are cursed, you are cursed, you are cursed. Some of you say black man. They know they do things well. Black man. They know they do things well. He said he caused harm. God, Noah never caused harm. He caused Canaan. Only one person. This is the map of Africa in 1644. The Atlantic Ocean used to be called the Ocean of Ethiopia. And the whole part here is the whole of Nigeria, but I see Benin here. So we are part of Ethiopia before. This is the real map of the world, where Africa is the second largest continent. But that's aside. The next thing we start moving is strategic prayers. We didn't do 48 hours for show. No, it's not about that. It's the restoration and the rebuilding and the exaltation of Davidic tabernacle that God said, when you restore this, I will make things to happen very fast. After the 48 hours, we said they saw the red moon. After the 48 hours, all of a sudden, rain started to fall in January. Somebody says coincidence, okay. But the truth of the matter is that a sound was given. Why? For 33 years, David instituted the tabernacle of David over Israel. It was called the golden years of Israel. What was it? The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. Upon Mount Zion, a tent over it. And David recruited 3,000 singers, 3,000 gatekeepers, and 288 prophetic singers to sing and to worship for 24 hours of the day. Somebody says it's not possible, but I can assure you, a city in a nation, they have been doing it for the past 20 years. And what are these strategic prayers? In the book of Nehemiah is so instructed to me. The name Nehemiah means comforter. He said, when I heard, Nehemiah 1, 4 to 7, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive to your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night. For your servants, the people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave to your servant Moses. The strategic prayers I'm talking about is not accusatory. It's us coming before God and said, you know what? The killings of innocent people. The murder. We're sorry. And so stand before God on behalf of the nation. Today, many people in some nations, they call the 1040 window. What's the 10:40 window? The nations that are hard for the gospel. Prayers were targeted at those nations. That today, people are in their houses and Jesus will appear. We need to pray. We need to seek and contend for the soul of our nation. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 4, strategic prayers. He said, I urge you then, first of all, that request prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm not praying for the leaders because they are good. I'm praying, one, so that their eyes of understanding will be open to wisdom and they will take information from the right realm. What made Pharaoh, who did not know God, to submit to the interpretation of Joseph and say, your own God is what? Who? Why? I see this God inside of you. You'll be my next in command. Something must have happened to him. Why? The real result is not that we will take over Nigeria, because no president is your savior. The real result is that men will be saved. The gospel does not move fast in time of fighting and chaos. That may be a plan B. But the plan A of God is that there will be peace. Put peace in any place, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There is no gospel that will beat the gospel of Jesus. None. If China could bow, and they are now building churches with the state money, is it not like NYSC that pays us to preach the gospel in rural Rocket? If it could happen like that, then more prayers should go on. But lastly, as I go, we must raise transformational leaders. And it's only transformational leaders that will lead, raise transformational leaders. By now, you should not be bypassing NEPA. PACN. By now. PD. By now. By now. By now, you should have honor. By now, you should not be beating traffic light. By now. The thing is that we have not taken what we read in the Bible to govern our lives. We use it to fight enemies. We bring those scriptures. The enemies in my father's house. And all those things. And all these things becomes religion without morality. Religion without sacrifice. Many of us are looking for personal breakthrough, not collective breakthrough. Transformational leaders. These are fathers and mothers of society. That's why it took only two people who understand the heart, who understood the heart of God to enter the promised land. We must raise the next generation. Nobody is too small. The 12-year-olds, the 13-year-old. Jesus understood his calling by when he was 12 years old. The 13s, we should put these values on them and in them. If we are not putting these values in them, music is putting it in them. There are some music that say, if you not get money, wait in a life you day. So a whole human being was crafted to pursue the colored paper. And the colored paper is a depth instrument. And the funniest thing, we flaunt it. We even preach it that if you don't have money, you don't have the blessing of the Lord upon you. So I'm repenting on behalf of us. It's the blessing of the Lord that make it. Can I say something? You can have money without God. You can. You don't need even God to get money. The devil is the one that can give you money so that he can destroy you. Because money is a weight. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 1 to 3, this was Bathsheba Bathsheba was talking to Solomon. He understood something. He said the sins of King Lemuel, talking about Solomon. An oracle, his mother taught him, "Oh my son, oh son of my womb, oh son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings." Bathsheba understood what ruined the father, David. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 2, this same thing was repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5. It said that God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Listen, this is when he gave us what the Jewish people called the Ten Statements and what we call the Ten Commandments. He said, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." He now gave us 10 commandments so that we don't return back to slavery. And all the 10 commandments, most apart from one, has to do with your thought pattern. One has to do with how you treat yourself. Three has to do with your relationship with God and how you will use it to treat others. And the remaining 5 has to do with our relationship with people, which is also has to do with that thought one too. He said, when you practice this thing, you won't go back to bondage. You won't go back to slavery. The question is this. He said, "I'm the Lord, your God. You mustn't have any other God. You mustn't carry my name." Some people say you use the name of the Lord as he say, oh God. No, say, don't use that name. No, that's not what he must mean. He said, don't use his name to kill people and say it's God. You know, many years ago, people killed in the name of Jesus. Today, people are killing in the name of Allah. He said, don't carry my name. Observe the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is for your rest, to fellowship with your family. People say, I must walk. There's a fast food chain in America. They don't open on Sundays. Sunday is when Americans go to eat. The founder, a Bible school teacher, in the First Baptist Church in Jonesboro in Atlanta, made a statement. He said, "I want my staff to fellowship with their family on Sundays. And their productivity, with the number of outlets, they are competing with McDonald's." Why? Because Cathy Truett said that people must fellowship with their families. It gives you time to fellowship. What if one day of the week you stay with your wife, your children, and fellowship with them? You bring them to church and fellowship with them. If you work 7 days a week, you are a slave. Sorry, I'm busting some things, but I must say. What if we live in a society when people don't murder people? What will we live in society where you don't commit adultery? What will we live in a society where people don't lie and give false witness? What if we live in a society where people don't convert their neighbor's property? Where people don't steal? You know, there's that commandment say, do not steal. What do not steal? Do not steal is very wide. Very wide. People steal human beings, kidnapping. People steal people's ideas. You go to torrent, you download people's video, you are a believer. I make bold to say every film we have watched here, I have bought original. All. You are stealing people's intellectual property. This is my voter's card. I agree that the people you are voting, you don't like. Keep that one aside. Ask God, Who do I vote for? At least you have 70 options or 70 something. What develops a nation is religion that breeds morality. And so for 430 years they were slaves. It took 40 years to convert slaves by God to champions. And prosperity started coming to the nation. The nation experienced prosperity. Experienced prosperity that kings were coming. How come? How come? What's happening? I read scripture about to know how a nation develops. You can't go to work late. You can't sell fake products to people. You are a believer. It's not say, let church be talking. Church has talked and talked and talked. We want hammer. Let's look at the underlying philosophy in Nigeria. What's the philosophy? In Japan, it was that only foolish people do things well. What is the underlying philosophy for young men and young boys here? You know what? Where you are relocating to? A nation that has morality. For righteousness, morality. How come they have some code of values for the president of these nations? That if you violate those codes, it's about morality, it's not about anything. You'll be impeached. George Washington talked about private morality. Why do you want to vote for that uncle that knows that he's a liar? You know. How come you want to vote for... You know the person. It's not that you don't know. It's not that you were... You know the person, but you are not the campaign manager. But you are a believer. It's your brother. And most of us will now tell us, if they say we are corrupt, then we are corrupt. You see, let me tell you. What I'm saying now was taught by John Calvin in Switzerland. Switzerland has less than 5 million people. No mineral resources, none. Apart from human beings. We don't have anything, but we have human beings. But we have one thing to sell. It's called truth. Truth. I stand on the fact by Pat Elton that said, Nigeria will be known for unrighteousness, but very soon will be known for righteousness. And that's why I'm talking about this. It's not a condemnatory message. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to call your prophetic destiny. We're a giver nation. And we'll give righteousness to the world. We'll give wealth to the world. We will give generosity to the world. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I came to speak to who you are. You are a righteous person. Sometimes I see people here who work in the market. When they see me, they say, so I took permission. Because I will always ask, what are you doing here? You are supposed to be at work. Because you are working for the Lord. And I see people, the way they do church work. In going to a party, you are very, very diligent. Let's come for choir riaza. Let's come for ushering riaza. Let's come for this thing. The young people we are supposed to be raising in church, we don't have power. Because you know what? We are consumed with ourselves. They say, Pastor, it's only Sunday I give, at least be happy. It's okay. Starting point. Upgrade. Upgrade. There are young people that need your counsel. You are supposed to be fathers and mothers to them. The world is training them with music, with arts and culture. You are telling them, be wise. For we are in their phone, they are singing. If you not get money, na life you day. If you not get this one, na life you day. If you not get this one, na life you day. They will hear that music 365 times. If you not get money, na life you day. If you not get money, na life you day. If you not get money, na life you day. If you never drive home, na life you day. Wait, you go drive, you not go drive. I asked some people many yesterday in Unib, and I said, how many of you know the U.S. Sparrow? Only one. No, the U.S. Sparrow. Sparrow was the upgraded version of the Uresa. Many of us don't know. So also, the time will come, you will ask, what's GAK? They will be looking at you, what's GAK? But you see, the foundation of the Lord is sure. Once you see, the moment Switzerland began to say truth, the nations of the world nearby knew, say this is a truthful nation. So when you steal money, you take it to them, keep for me, because thief, no thief. Some of you know that the people you can give car to repair. In the very beginning, when you practice morality, you will pay the sacrifice. People will not want to do business with you. There's one place we go and buy sound equipment in this Benin. If you go and buy sound equipment for social money and say utter receipt, they will never. It's 250, it's 250. You say, well, we just change it to 300 so I can collect it. They say, no. The exact price is what they give. Now everybody has known now. From the very beginning, it was not so. You may get its initial profit with dubious means. The Ten Commandments, the command is a solid moral code that can transform any nation. And the question I should ask, the Jewish and the Christian people believe in this statement. The Christian may not believe in the other 613 laws in the, but the two of us, we believe in these Ten Commandments. Because you cannot have a moral code without a creator. You cannot. I call you today. Some people say, why don't you speak to your voice? Why don't you let people hear this? You are hearing me, and others are hearing you. Jesus only spoke to 12 men. And the rest, they say, is history. How many of us are here? As we live here, so say, Pastor, this pastor now, he did speak well. But not the street. Not the street. Now we the street. It's like you telling Jesus, say, Jesus, even if you were alive today, you fall. I'm telling you. Say, Jesus, you don't understand what you would go through. I told some people one night, I said, in the making of beautiful women, there's no end. There's no end. In the making of fine boys, there's no end. In the making of beautiful cars, there's no end. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I say the three things. It's not creative. Is it a hard journey for me? Yes, but I've chosen this path. And so every time I come before him, that's why I pray. I don't pray to kill anybody. To govern my life. So I present myself a good father, a good husband, good pastor. Do I fall short sometimes? Yeah, I repent quickly. I'm sorry. Not to justify why I need to fall against the standard of God. Do I? As we go to the general elections, I want you to pray to God and say, Lord, who do I vote for? Election day is not the time to put on DSTV and be doing commentative. and vote. Bad things happen when good men refuse to speak. God knows that I've spoken to you today. It's righteousness that exalts a nation. Today, Switzerland, they guard the Pope in Italy. They call them the Swiss Guards. Switzerland has the world headquarters of all world education organizations. A land that their airport is in between themselves and France. You enter one side of the airport, you're in France. They don't even have land. But they had truth to sell. The best makers of watch. The best makers of chocolate worldwide. They don't have cocoa tree. Because morality is on same nation. But I tell you the truth. The moral standard is still heightened. How do you treat your neighbors? That's the starting point. The house you rent, the house that you rented, it's not that you rented, you are paying money. You say, at least I pay money. You scratch all the wall. You destroy everywhere. You did this thing. You break the tap. As if you are fighting with the tap, you rip the door, you carry the net. I don't know what you are doing in the net. You tear it apart. You do this thing. And the ceiling will be black, as if that's the kitchen. That everything. Then they ask you, say, "Na mimi landlord, they not come take care of your property." Those are the things. These are the little things. How you treat people's property will depend. Let me tell you, if you build your own, you will treat it like that because it's a culture. It's a culture. You will tear it down. Then you will now say, at least let me get her. You're not concerning anybody. How do you treat other people's things that they give to you? How do you treat the things of God? The sacred things of God. It's abomination for you to come to church late. That's why you go to work late. Because it's a culture. Say, I bet they don't feel praise and worship. Another time they come. So the Protestant ethics. Eyes up on your feet. What type of prayer should we pray? I will trust in you. As we are singing today, I believe that people have been healed in their body. I would like to hear their testimony. Wednesday, we stood here, a lady going through trauma in a United Tract. And from October to date, a word was given. New wine for a new season. And the affliction stopped. Do you know why we bypass? Huh? Because we don't trust that God can provide. That's the call. Do you know why you do your work and you expect to get kickback? Because you think that God wants you to leave only your salary. And your salary cannot salad anything. It has no salad in it. The main cause is that you don't trust Him. He didn't create you to work and eat. Do you know why you work for somebody? You dupe the company and go and start your own. Trust. Our trust level is in an own high. He said, trust me. When you follow this thing, it may not be sweet, sooner nations will be looking for you. I have practiced this thing to the best of my knowledge. We practice it here. One of the things is that good name is better than silver and gold. Twice it was said in the Bible. And anything repeated twice in the Bible, take note of that thing. Your business that is duping people and helping boys to dupe their oga today, those boys will become oga tomorrow. They will never send their boys to you.
I will
lift up your hands.
Trust in you forever. I will follow you.
Father, we trust in you. We are declaring our trust right now.
I will trust in you forever. I will follow you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you forever. I will follow you. I will trust in you. I will trust.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.